أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على السلام حي على السلام حي على الله الرحمن الرحيم
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
گزشتہ دنوں
Recently, I was sent a letter from the United States in which the person remarked that in the speeches that I delivered at Jalsa Salana, I related how people, both through the mode of preaching and also through the direct guidance of Allah the Almighty, are entering into the Ahmadiyya Muslim community. All their attention is being drawn in this way. How people's faith are being reinvigorated as a result of this, and how the truthfulness of Ahmadiyyat is increasingly being instilled in their hearts. The writer said that hearing all of this, a heartfelt wish developed, that if only someone were to enter into Ahmadiyyat in this part of the world through me, and thus I could also witness a sign of this manner. A short while later, my phone rang, and a lady was on the other end, who said, she said, after finding your telephone number on the website, I am calling you. I am interested in Islam and wish to meet you. The Ahmadi replied, that is fine, and let us meet. Undertaking a lengthy journey, this lady reached to this Ahmadi. She disclosed her circumstances and how she had developed this enthusiasm of Islam. On the internet, she acquired further material and information. Subsequently, her husband and her in-laws, who were strict Christians, became opposed to her, and she was forced to endure their anger. This resulted in a separation from her husband. They had two children, and the court decided that the husband should be given custody of them. Despite this, she remained steadfast in the search of the truth and sacrificed everything. She relates that I studied in depth, going on to the website of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, and I also regularly watched MTA. She further said that she had also acquired information into the other Muslim sects, but they gave her no satisfaction. Every time she gave attention towards Islam, she would remain focused upon studying the literature of the Jamaat. This Ahmadi informed her that our Jalsa was held in the past few days, which was shown on MTA, to which the lady replied that she had also watched the Jalsa on MTA and now wanted to join the Ahmadiyya community. The writer of the letter continues by saying that my daughter, who studies at university and who was present in that discussion with this lady at the time, said that when I had related the incidents during the Jalsa of the newcomers into Ahmadiyyat, in terms of how they had accepted the truthfulness of Ahmadiyyat and Allah the Almighty had guided them, she believed that some of the episodes were exaggerated. But she says that after listening to the account of this lady, her faith had strengthened. She realized there was no exaggeration in the accounts. and she saw how Allah the Almighty is turning people's hearts, and she understood how Allah the Almighty was guiding others. Thus, at times, the notion arises in the minds of some educated persons, and also, perhaps, at times, in the youth, that some of these incidents are exaggerated when they are presented. However, remember and bear in mind that all the accounts that are presented are not tales and fables. They indeed are true accounts. They are but a few samples of that current of wind that Allah the Almighty has directed this way, and which I present. There are innumerable incidences, but I only select and present a few. Even the accounts that are selected to be presented at the Jalsa cannot all be related. And that is why, last year, I had explained that whenever the opportunity arose during the course of the year, I would present some of these accounts. Some were related, whilst others could not. And this year, many such accounts have also now been gathered and collated. I relate all of these so that our faith can be strengthened and enhanced, and they can lead us to constantly self-assessing that to what degree are the roots of Ahmadiyyat strengthening within us. To what extent do we need to give heed and attention towards our worship, and how we should seek guidance from Allah the Almighty after accepting Ahmadiyyat. It is in this connection that today I will relate some of the accounts of those who have newly joined into Ahmadiyyat, and how Allah the Almighty guides them. We must not listen to these as merely interesting anecdotes, but rather, this is a reality which becomes and should become a means of strengthening of one's faith. They should lead us to assessing our state and condition. They should result in us expressing our gratitude to Allah the Almighty for His treatment of the Jamaat. They should bring about a realization of our responsibilities and paying attention to discharging them. Today, it is our duty to convey the message of truth to the world and to guide them. Where on the one hand we need to expend efforts to discharge this responsibility, there on the other hand we need to ensure that our personal state and condition is in accordance with Allah the Almighty's teachings. Thus our practical examples and models can constantly strengthen those who enter the Jamaat. As I mentioned, I will present samples of the help and succor of Allah the Almighty and how He imparts His guidance. A lady from Tunisia, Maliha Sahiba, writes, "I am a keen reader. I also study the Holy Quran and numerous other Islamic books, but there were still many topics incomprehensible to me, such as the verse of Surah An-Nisa, وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّحَ لَهُمْ. The other verses, with regards to the subject of the death of Jesus, always remain the focal point of my study. Has Jesus died or is He alive in the heavens? I then read the attributes of the Dajjal, the Antichrist, in Riyadh al-Salihin, and it dawned upon me that how could God send a person of this description? I thought that what purpose would it serve for Jesus to be sitting in the heavens? These reflections would concern me. I would pray to God the Almighty for guidance. Suddenly one day, while switching the channels on the television, I came across MTA, which was different to all the other religious channels. At the time, a discussion was being held with a Christian priest. In comparison to the other channels, the hosts and the panelists were conducting very dignified discussions. I discovered during this period of time that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him's advent had occurred. I regularly watched MTA thereafter, and gradually I began to understand all the topics. I prayed to Allah the Almighty that I should not die until I become an Ahmadi. Finally, I took the bet and entered into the Ahmadiyya community, which is a great favor of God upon me. From Yemen, Ramadan Saab relates the account of his bet. He relates that I had the opportunity to live in a Chinese society and found them to be very good people when I lived in China. I observed that some Arabs took undue advantage from their good dealings and would say negative things about them and pick faults in them. I considered that how is it possible that despite these people showing good conduct and manners, would go to hell. Yet we would become deserving of heaven simply because we were Muslims by name. Thereafter, I began study and research and started reading Muslim literature. I continued with this study, read various Islamic literature, and watched Islamic programs. During this time, I had the opportunity to watch MTA. The arguments and reasoning presented were so compelling and strong that I would tremble as a result. It felt as if an electric current was running through my body. Thereafter, I began to watch MTA constantly and would spontaneously weep whilst watching it, but would not know why. There was an overwhelming feeling in me that Allah the Almighty had Himself guided me to this channel. To discover the truthfulness of the promised Messiah, I started praying profusely, and each time I would receive the answer through my body shaking and trembling and through tranquility of the mind, which would satisfy me that the promised Messiah is true. Then I read the books of the promised Messiah. I received most of the answers to my questions from them. I then took the bet and became a member of the community. Tom Overgoor from Holland relates the account of his acceptance of Ahmadiyyat. I am 22 years old and I'm a university student. At the beginning of 2004, I took the bet in Amsterdam in the Beit al-Mahmoud Mosque. I have always had an inclination and attachment to religion, and at a particular age, I had firm belief in the existence of God, but without any specific attachment to any religion. On a daily basis, the realization increasingly dawned upon me that vice was prevalent in the world. Hazur says, this is the way of thinking of this youngster. Some of our youth in the Jamaat who are born Ahmadi should think about this who don't normally. So he continues that on a daily basis, the realization continuously dawned upon me that vice is prevalent in the world. This was a compelling factor for me, and I began my study into the purpose of life. I researched prolifically and spoke to various people on this topic. During the course of my study, my heart began to be inclined towards Islam. It was in this connection that I would converse with two Ahmadis. I visited the Jamaat center with them in Nunspeet, where I observed the Jamaat atmosphere. It became evident to me through this that true Islam is Ahmadiyyat alone. It also became clear to me that the promised Messiah has truly and really come in this world. All Muslims are in search of unity, whilst Ahmadiyyat is that sole movement where there is true and strong unity, and where one can find the taste of true faith. He writes that I wrote a letter of prayers to Khalifatul Masih. After I wrote this letter, God extended His grace upon me. The truth of Ahmadiyyat became manifest to me, and I went to the Mahmoud Mosque and took the bet. I am learning to offer the prayer, and I am endeavoring to lead a pure life. Salamat Sahib is from Kyrgyzstan, where he is the Jamaat Sadr, or President. He relates that at my workplace is a Russian lady colleague. She was a Christian and I was in discussion with her with respect to religion. During the course of our conversation, she said that she did not have heartfelt satisfaction upon her religion. She was introduced to Islam Ahmadiyyat and given a book, The Philosophy of the Teachings of Islam, upon which she remarked that all my questions with respect to religion have been answered. I am now satisfied that Islam is truly the real religion. After this, she studied other Jamaat literature. Her faith and conviction in the truthfulness of Islam went from strength to strength, to the extent that the lady visited Qadian. She has taken the bet and has now joined the scheme of Wasiyat. Arjan Sahib from Holland, who was a Christian by faith, relates the account of his acceptance of bet. I was always in search of forming a relationship with God and acquiring His love. But the Bible never really and truly guided me. One day, before departing from home, I offered a greatly heart-burning prayer to God the Almighty to guide me to the truth, to enable me to meet someone who could lead me to God. That was a day of the birthday of the king in Holland, where people put up their stalls outside. An hour had not passed when I happened upon a bookstall of the Jamaat. There I met an Ahmadi person who introduced me to the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat. He gave me, in addition to other Jamaat literature, the book The Philosophy of the Teachings of Islam. I returned home and read this book, and my entire world transformed. It became immediately clear to me that the author of this book is no ordinary human being. Indeed, only one given knowledge directly by God could have written such a book. Islam is really a true religion. Thereafter, I attended the Jalsa Salana Holland and Jalsa Salana Germany. These spiritual jalsas had an extraordinary impact upon me, and it became clear to me that all of this was the answer to the prayers that I had supplicated. There was no room left for me to reject and deny. So thus, during the Jalsa Salana Germany, he took the bet. Hala Sahiba from Libya relates that after the Gaddafi government was toppled in Libya, I prayed to God the Almighty with great humility and lamentation that do now send the Imam Mahdi so that these circumstances can be rectified. One day, by coincidence, switching the TV channels, I came across MTA, where I saw the picture of the promised Messiah, which attracted my attention. Consequently, I began watching various programs on this channel, and I learned about the doctrines of Ahmadiyyat. This continued for 1 year. After, I decided that without any further research, I should immediately take the bet. She then writes that she wrote a letter to me for her steadfastness and strength of faith. Kone Abdullah Sahib, who is currently serving as the driver in the mission house, relates that I had been married for over 2 years, but did not have any children. 2 years ago, when I first newly heard of the name of Ahmadiyyat, and I had only just heard about the advent of the promised Messiah, I prayed to be granted children, that, O God, O all-hearing and all-seeing Lord, if the promised Messiah and Imam Mahdi has truly come, and Hazrat Mirza Ghulam Ahmad is he, then confirm me the blessings of having a progeny, and enable me to become amongst the servants of the Messiah of Muhammad. He says that God the Almighty accepted my prayer. During that same month, my wife was expecting with a child, and I now have a daughter. After this, the family took the bet. As the promised Messiah has explained, one should pray to be guided to the right path. So thus, even if one is not satisfied, but is thirsty to learn the truth, if he prays to God with great lamentation, with an open mind, with a wish that he should be guided by God, with a sincere and pious intention, then God the Almighty indeed guides people. Through some way or the other, whether it is a dream or otherwise, one is guided. The truth of Ahmadiyyat becomes manifest to them. There are some accounts of dreams. Amir Sahib, The Gambia, writes, Donge Kabe is a place in The Gambia. There, one person said that since he heard the message of Ahmadiyyat, he really liked it. The conduct and behavior of the members of the Ahmadiyya Jamaat was exemplary and impressive. But I was always astonished of what the reason was that all the Muslim scholars were opposed to Ahmadiyyat. How could it be that they are all wrong? This was why I was always doubtful of the claim of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat. I was advised by the area missionary to leave the matter in the hands of God, that I should pray that God should guide me. So thus I started praying. One night in a dream, I saw the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said to me to come along with him. At the time, the Holy Prophet was accompanied by some other people. I was with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we crossed a desert. We could see people from afar at the destination we were reaching after crossing the desert. When I arrived near to these people, I could clearly recognize them. They were the members of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat. Subsequently, the Holy Prophet was with two groups, an earlier group and a later group. Through this dream, the truthfulness of Ahmadiyyat became clear to me. I related this dream to the missionary. I took the bet and I entered into Ahmadiyyat. So this person now preaches himself, and by virtue of him, several people have entered Ahmadiyyat. A missionary in Haiti relates that a new convert, Abdul Madali Sahib, recounted. He was researching into the Jamaat. In the second week of February 2004, he saw in a dream. There was a day which was extraordinarily bright. It appeared as if the sun was shining very close by. All of a sudden, a severe earthquake struck. And just in a short span of time, almost all of the buildings are destroyed. A small section of his house is also damaged. In the context of this predicament, he thinks that he should see the Ahmadiyya Mission House. In the dream, he sets off to see it. En route, there are destroyed buildings all around. People are out on the streets, screaming. Upon arrival at the Ahmadiyya Mission House, he sees that the Ahmadiyya Mission House building is completely intact. And the missionary is standing outside with other Ahmadis and are in discussion. Seeing me, they say, "Come, let us go to the seaport." When we arrive at the seaport, there is a white boat. All of us Ahmadis board the boat. There are already some Ahmadis on the boat. Through this large boat or ship, we begin our journey on the sea. Then the dream ends. He says, "Thereafter, I was firmly convinced in my heart that now salvation, if it exists, is through Ahmadiyyat alone." So he then took the bet. Our missionary from Australia writes that a Sikh, Bikandar Sahib, was being preached to. He attended the Jalsa Salana, Australia. After considerable research on the basis of a dream, he accepted Ahmadiyyat. He says that he phoned me and was speaking in an emotional tone. It was difficult for him to speak and would cry. He related that 3 days ago I saw a dream that I am in a location where there is great darkness. As a result of this darkness, I am very perturbed. It seemed as if I would not be able to breathe and would die. I think, how can I exit from this darkness? During this time, suddenly light is produced in this darkness, and the darkness is transformed into light. A holy and saintly person came and stood before me. He said that, "Grab my hand if you want to remove yourself from this darkness," and he extended his hand to me to hold it. As soon as I held his hand, I woke up. For 2 days, I was very worried regarding the nature of this dream. The dream and the holy person would not leave my mind. On that same day, this missionary had called him and showed him the picture of the promised Messiah and the Khulafa. he put his hand on the picture of the promised Messiah and said, "This was that same holy person who was telling me to hold his hand to gain salvation from the darkness." The missionary from Mali writes, "One person phoned the Ahmadiyya Mission House and said, 'From today, I am an Ahmadi. Please accept my bed.' When they inquired the reason he wanted to take the bed, he explained that as a result of the current circumstances of the Muslims, I did not feel like joining any of the Muslim sects. I read the Holy Quran and the other books of Hadith and tried my level best to act upon them. But considering the current plight of the Muslims, I always felt that God the Almighty would not leave this religion in its current predicament, and the Mahdi's advent would occur. I would think that this was a time of the coming of the Mahdi and would pray for this." He said, "Last night, when I slept after praying, I saw in a dream that the moon has separated from the sun and is descending towards the ground. As the moon descends, it falls into my hand, and there is a voice from it saying, 'The Mahdi has come,' and he is calling people to him." He then says that your radio is announcing exactly this, that Ja al-Mahdi, Ja al-Mahdi, the Mahdi has come, the Mahdi has come. Thus, there is no ambiguity in this, and I take the bet. Al-Sini Suma Sahib from Guinea-Conakry says, "An Ahmadi, Muhammad Sahib, was preaching to me. I did not have heartfelt satisfaction, and I would constantly pray that Allah shows me the straight path. During this time, I saw in a dream that the path I was being invited towards was the correct path. Through this, I gained satisfaction of the heart, and Allah enabled me to take the bed." From Germany, Ibrahim Karun Sahib writes, "After being introduced to the Jamaat, I began watching MTA. Then I prayed regarding the truthfulness of the promised Messiah and did istikhara. One day after doing the istikhara prayer, in a dream, I saw the promised Messiah. He was leaving from his palace, and from the walls of this palace, rays of nur or spiritual light were emanating. Wearing the ihram, I was standing near the threshold of the palace. I knelt down and put my hands on my knees. The promised Messiah opened his hands and placed it upon my head. I was starting to say to him, 'Samam wa ta'atan,' that I hear and I obey. I then awoke." He says, "Then I had complete satisfaction and conviction." Allah Sahib from Egypt writes that, "I am a young Egyptian. 1 year ago, I was introduced to the Jamaat through MTA. I came to believe in the Najiyah sect, that is the sect on the right path and the true sect, and asked for his bed to be accepted. One night, I prayed to God the Almighty, weeping profusely, asking for a sign to be shown to me. In a dream, I saw myself in a gathering." Hazrat says, he writes to me, that he saw me in the dream. He says that you put a silver ring on my finger, which had a Quranic verse on it. I woke up and was delighted. I considered the dream to be a means to Ahmadiyyat and Islam. Our missionary from Sierra Leone writes, "A far-flung Jamaat in Panama is called Tongo Field. In the surrounding villages, the seed of Ahmadiyyat had not been planted. In the nearby village was a young boy with good morals. According to the local tradition and custom, the people of the local village placed a crown to make the youngster the leader. The youngster said, 'The night that they put the crown on my head, I saw in a dream a big and small mosque. I want to go to the big mosque to say my prayer, when I hear a voice that if you want your prayers to be accepted and establish a relationship with God, then go to the small mosque. I go to the small mosque and I see that my father is seated in it. He says to me, 'Son, this is the mosque of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat. If you want to establish a bond with Allah, only come and keep contact with this mosque.' The young person says that before seeing this dream, I did not know anything about the Ahmadiyya Jamaat. Thereafter, I started asking the people of the surrounding villages whether there was any mosque of the Ahmadiyya community. One person informed me about the Tongo Mosque. I contacted the Muallim Sahib there. I took the bet and entered into the Jamaat. The actual thing is sincerity and devotion, not large numbers. The real thing is who the grace and blessings of Allah the Almighty are with. So to assert that all the Muslim sects are on one side, whilst the Jamaat Ahmadiyya is alone on the other, here it has been indicated that do not look at the large numbers. Look at where the help and succor of Allah the Almighty are, and where there are more signs of the acceptance of prayers. From the Gambia, one person relates one of his dreams. One night, when asleep, he saw in a dream a person who comes to him. He grasps his hand firmly and says, "Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah." In the dream, this person was unrecognizable to him. Within the dream, he inquires from other people who this person is, upon which they inform him that this is the Imam of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat. He says he then awoke. The next morning, this person came to our mission house. He related this dream to our Muallim. The Muallim had already turned on MTA. At the time, my Friday sermon was being broadcast. So he says, after seeing me, he said, "This is that same person who came to me last night in my dream." Thereafter, he accepted Ahmadiyyat. Naib Nazir Sahib Dawat-e-Illah Qadian relates, here there is a place, Mujam Ali, where a person called Lal Deen Sahib some time ago saw a dream. There is a dead child who is saying, four people will come to you. They will tell you about the religion of Islam. Accept what they say. Follow them and act upon them. When we went to Lal Deen Sahib's house and gave him the message of the Holy Quran, after hearing everything we had to say, he said, "I have been notified of your coming beforehand through a dream. I was waiting for you." Subsequently, he, his sons, and his entire family took the bet. There is a local Jamaat in Kyrgyzstan where there is a new convert, Bahadur Sahib, who relates that it happened in 1998. I was offering the Asr prayer. A short while before saying Salam, a state of vision encompassed me. In my right ear, this verse of Surah Yunus was recited. وَاللَّهُ يَدْعُو إِلَى دَارِ السَّلَامِ وَيَحْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. And Allah calls to the abode of peace and guides whom He pleases to the straight path. After this, I was told the interpretation and commentary of this verse will be told to you by a teacher from India. I continued in the state of vision. After the prayer, I was astonished and remained so. How did this state of vision come upon me? Until then, I did not have any acquaintance with India or even heard of it. For work-related purposes, I had to go from Kyrgyzstan to Russia. When I came here, I met some people who had hailed from India. I did not know anything about the Jamaat. And even with these people, I did not speak to them about religion, but only about business and trade. Slowly but gradually, my interest and enthusiasm in religion increased. Until one day, I was introduced to the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, I was enabled to accept Ahmadiyyat. In 2012, I took the bet and entered into the Jamaat. I understood the commentary and interpretation of this verse, that because the promised Messiah was from Qadian, Allah the Almighty enabled me to accept this Imam and to enter into the Jamaat. Indeed, the one who came from India was the source of guidance and peace for me. Our missionary in charge of Chandrapur, Maharashtra, writes, here there is a town. The wife of Sheikh Qadir Sahib, Sultana Begum, was a staunch and fierce opponent for the Jamaat for some time. This wife hails from a household in Andhra Pradesh who were fiercely opposed to the Jamaat. After marriage, her husband, Sheikh Qadir Sahib, accepted Ahmadiyyat. This caused a great upheaval in the home, and the matter reached a stage where there was a danger of khula or divorce. Sheikh Qadir Sahib considered all other relationships as completely worthless in the face of Ahmadiyyat and remained steadfast. We tried to explain to the wife of Qadir Sahib that her husband was on the truth and that she should also pray. Allah would most certainly show a miracle. But she would only think that perhaps Ahmadiyyat would corrupt my faith. As a result of this, she always strove to remain distant from Ahmadiyyat. Despite there being MTA in the home, she would watch the Madani channel. But Allah the Almighty's power and might displayed its manifestation. One day, Sultana Sahib saw a dream. A holy person is teaching her the Kalima, the Muslim creed, and informing her that the Holy Quran is the final Sharia. Act upon it. She says that she thought that the holy person was the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This dream did not satisfy her, but nonetheless she remained silent for some period. After some time, she once again saw a dream. In the surrounding Kapoor region, Ahmadiyyat has spread. Whoever she asks calls himself an Ahmadi. Then she saw that in the yolk of the egg was written La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. It was also written that Hadrat Imam Mahdi had arrived. Within the dream, Sultana Begum Sahiba says to her brother, who is an opponent, that these people are certainly true. After this, in the morning, as she was pious-natured, she took the bed. From the Kolikoro region of Mali, one of our Mu'allims writes, in their village, Shaw, Bangijara Sahib, an elderly person, had related. A long time ago, he saw a dream. He was climbing on a very high wall. When he reaches the top of it, he sees many flowers. There are many people sitting on the right side of the flowers. In the dream, he was told that if you want to learn Islam, and if you want to recognize the Holy Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, join amongst these people. He cannot understand what this meant. When he came on to the Ahmadiyya radio called Noor, he started hearing what they said. One day he saw this dream again. He was told that these are the people of Ahmadiyya radio who should join. You will then reach God. After this, with the grace of the Almighty Allah, he took the bed. Allah the Almighty guides such people. Then after hearing such incidents, then our responsibility increases considerably. We who are old or born Ahmadis, we need to keep a vigilant eye upon our personal state and condition, establish a relationship with God the Almighty, and reform our practical condition. As I said, we should constantly remind ourselves of this, lest our slackness and laziness deprives us of this. It is a decree of Allah the Almighty that the caravan of Ahmadiyyat, inshallah, God willing, will constantly advance and march forward. So this will indeed be the case. There is a need to pay great attention towards this, and we should constantly remain a part of this advancement of Ahmadiyyat. There are other incidences where there are fatwas, because there are many a fatwas or edicts issued against the Ahmadiyya Jamaat. At times, the fatwas are given by way of a lesson in which Allah the Almighty brings about such circumstances, where those who issued the fatwas or the edicts become the targets of the fatwas themselves. An Ahmadi lady from Egypt, Yahad Sahiba, writes, my father belongs to an Islamic organization, Ikhwan al-Muslimin. He follows it blindly. This organization sought another Egyptian organization to issue a fatwa against Ahmadiyyat, declaring it outside the fold of Islam, God forbid. Once my father made a false allegation against us Ahmadis. At the time, in a state of immense desperation and helplessness, I raised my hands in prayers that Allah the Almighty in His grace and blessing should help us and should take revenge from this person, who speaks falsely yet claims it is true. I supplicated that, O Allah, if the promised Messiah is true, then display a sign. She says, at the time I was keeping the Shawwal fasts. It was near to Maghrib time. I turned on the television to listen to the news regarding the circumstances of Egypt. I was astonished beyond measure. Al-Azhar had declared the Ikhwan al-Muslimin outside the fold of Islam and as apostates. Upon this, I loudly proclaimed Nari Takbir. I said, indeed, the promised Messiah is certainly untruthful. The fatwa from Al-Azhar in Egypt is given more importance than the fatwa issued by Darul Ifta. I said to my father, now look how Allah the Almighty has replied. You tried to pick out a fatwa. In response, Allah has given a much stronger fatwa, that the promised Messiah alayhi salam is truthful. The promised Messiah on whom be peace said, there was a time when only a handful of people were with us and no one else. Now we see that there are swarms and droves of people joining us. Yatuda min kulli fajin amik, that people will come to you from every distant track. Not only this, there is something added to this, that the opponents oppose Ahmadiyya tooth and nail to try and stop people coming here. Ultimately, those words were fulfilled. Now, every new person who comes to us is a sign of this revelation. Elsewhere, the promised Messiah says, Allah the Almighty does not desire the faith of our Jama'at to diminish. With His grace, Allah the Exalted, in order to enhance the faith of our Jama'at, displays and manifests His signs. With the grace of Allah, this continues even today. But there are some unfortunate people who neither take lessons seeing these signs, nor do they attempt to recognize the truth. Rather, they increase in their enmity and opposition. Such people one day will see their sorry end. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, says, God has appointed me. God has sent me. They, that is the opponents, see whether the person who says that his advent occurred on the command of God has God's support and help with him or not. However, they saw sign upon sign and they said they were false. They saw divine help upon divine help and divine succor upon divine succor, yet they said this was all magic and sorcery. What hope and expectation can I have of such people who dishonor and disregard the word of God? Respect of the word of God required that as soon as they heard His name, they should have submitted. But they increased in their mischief. They will now see for themselves in whose hand is the ending. May Allah the Almighty soon show these opponents their ending. May the caravan of Ahmadiyyat continuously march forward. May Allah the Almighty constantly enable it to rapidly progress. May we always remain a part of it. After the Friday prayer, I will lead some funeral prayers. Mukarram Jameel Ahmed Gul or Gil Sahib, who lived in Germany for a long period of time, he came to Jalsa Salana, UK with his family. With his two families, they were in two cars. On 3rd September, he was returning to Germany at night near to the city of Limburg. There were roadworks going on. Car being driven by his daughter had an accident. During this time, the car from behind made an attempt to overtake them. That car collided with their car. As a result, the car lost its balance and was pushed into the next lane. There, the cars coming from the other side crashed into them. As a result, Jameel Ahmed Saib's wife, Ammatul Hamid Sahiba, a granddaughter, Selina Jamila, who was 11 years old, and another granddaughter, Fatera Naumar, aged 10, all died on the spot. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Jameel Sahib's daughter, who was driving the car, and her grandson was severely injured and went into a coma. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, they are in a much better condition. May Allah the Almighty grant them full recovery and cure. Ammatul Hamid Sahiba served as local Sadr Lajna Imaillah in Achenburg for 15 years. In the foundation stone laying ceremony of Beitul Jami, Achenburg, she had the fortune and blessing of laying one of the foundation stones. She was a daughter of Rana Gauramudullah Khan Sahib, former Amir of the district of Mansera, who had the honour of being a Asira Nirahimola, a prisoner in the way of God. The first case against someone saying Assalamu Alaikum was upon him. May Allah the Almighty elevate the rank of the deceased. And those who have been left behind, may He grant them steadfastness and patience.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nasta'firuhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'uzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله